A lot of small businesses in this country need help. In many places, an increasingly common sight is an empty store window with a for lease sign. Small businesses have been hard hit in this economy, and it's particularly true in California. Small business bankruptcies are up 81% in the state, according to one report, and that is nearly double the national average. Gloria Hillard brings us one story behind the statistics.
The only thing you can see in the window of this empty storefront is Keenan Gray's reflection. He's wearing a red jacket, his hands in his pockets, staring into the vacant space.
Well, we pretty much gutted it. There's not much left of it.
All that remains of the Edible Arrangements franchise he and his wife opened in the spring of 2008 is the faint imprint of the sign above the blue canvas awning. They had dreamed about owning their own business for years, Estella Gray says. The first day of business, she remembers being nervous and excited.
We were determined. You know, we are going to excel at this. And we did. We did pretty good. We fought tooth and nail for a long time, trying to keep the doors open with this attitude.
Their store was located in a brand new strip mall in this once booming high city desert of Palmdale, just north of Los Angeles. But when the housing market collapsed, people started pinching pennies, and fancy fruit arrangements like the Grays were selling, well, they soon became a luxury.
We pretty much cleaned out the savings, everything, in order to pay payroll and keep people paid and try to continue on, and we tried our best, and, you know, now it's just, we're down to nothing.
They've begun proceedings to file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy protection for their business as well as personal finances. They're not alone. Close to 19,000 California small businesses filed for bankruptcy during a 12-month period ending in September of last year. That's nearly two times the rate of 2008. Eric Clark is a bankruptcy lawyer with the Southern California firm Borowitz & Clark.
This is by far the busiest we've been in the last 12 years. And there's no end in sight right now.
Clark says tight credit, falling home prices, and high unemployment have contributed to what he calls a perfect storm for small business bankruptcies in the state. And people like the Grays, he says, are typical of those coming into his office.
Obviously, they're entrepreneurial in spirit. Most of their life savings in a lot of these cases have been poured into these businesses. Their entire sense of self is tied up in the success of their business.
What's been worse, the emotional investment or the financial one?
Good question. Emotionally, it's definitely tore me up. You know, financial, it's bad too, you know, but you can always bring it. I don't know.
Gray still has his real estate license, but given those prospects, he's now looking for other work.
I need to catch up. You know, I'm so far behind. I need to, you know, go get a Walmart job or something just to bring some extra money into the home.
On the day I visited them, moving boxes were stacked in various corners of the home they purchased 5 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah, boxes everywhere. Please excuse the mess.
The five-bedroom house is in foreclosure, and the family of six and their bulldog named Elvis are moving into a rental home about 10 minutes away. It's hard to even ask what's next.
You really can't make any plans. You know, you think about what you're going to do tomorrow when you're just trying to get through today.
On this day, they had a yard sale. The next thing is the move. Sometime in the next couple months, they will need to attend two administrative hearings in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court of California. And then they will try and rebuild their lives. For NPR News, I'm Gloria Hillard.
You'll find more in our series about how small businesses have fared in the recession at our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer, in for Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President Obama promised in his State of the Union speech to focus on jobs and the deficit. And yesterday, at a town hall meeting in New Hampshire, he unveiled a plan to increase lending to small businesses. Mr. Obama also took some swipes at Republicans for opposing just about everything he supports. NPR's Mara Liasson has this report.
The president wants to take $30 billion from the TARP program that bailed out the big banks and funnel it through community banks to lend to small businesses. Mr. Obama promoted the plan at a town hall meeting at Nashua High School yesterday.
Jobs has to be our number one focus in 2010. And we're going to start where most new jobs start, with small businesses.
These are the companies that begin in basements and garages when an entrepreneur takes a chance on his dream, or a worker decides it's time she becomes her own boss.
The White House wasn't shy about explaining the politics of the plan. In a memo to reporters, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said it represents exactly the kind of proposal that should appeal to Republicans. The president is trying to regain the confidence of middle-class voters with a renewed focus on jobs and the deficit, and at the same time he's trying to call the Republicans' bluff for their nearly unanimous opposition to his agenda. Here's how he described last week's defeat of a bill to create a bipartisan commission on the deficit. It got 53 votes, 37 Democrats, and only 16 Republicans.
This law failed by 7 votes. When 7 Republicans who had co-sponsored the bill, had co-sponsored the idea, suddenly walked away from their own proposal after I endorsed it. So they make a proposal, they sign on to the bill, I say, great, good idea. I turn around, they're gone. What happened?
Reaching across the aisle, but at the same time calling out Republicans for their reflexive opposition, is part of the president's new and much sharper election year message that he rolled out in his State of the Union address last week. A surprising number of questions at the town hall yesterday were about health care. The president promised to push a compromise to passage by working through the remaining differences between the House and Senate bills.
So we were just about to clean those up, and then Massachusetts election happened. Suddenly everybody says, oh, no, it's over. Well, no, it's not over. We just have to make sure that we move methodically and that the American people understand exactly what's in the bill.
Not everyone in the audience agreed. Ed Pinnell came to see the president, and he doesn't want him to return to health care right away.
I want him to publish first on jobs and then the health care after that, because I want to see people get back to work.
David Scherf isn't convinced he should go back to health care at all.
I think that he has to get back on track, probably a better message about jobs.
But Ken Kupchick wants to get it done with or without Republican support.
He's reached out plenty of times to the right side of the aisle. They've slapped him in the face every time, and he's been too conciliatory. That's why he's not getting anything done.
The White House is actually listening to all of that advice. Its plan is to do a jobs bill first, then come back to health care with or without Republican support. Former Clinton White House aide Bill Galston says the best model for President Obama is Ronald Reagan, who survived a deep recession himself with an unswerving belief that his own economic program would create jobs.
And it worked. And the president has to do exactly the same thing while preparing the American people for the likelihood that unemployment is not going to come down quickly. The president has to sell patience.
Patience, an unswerving focus on the economy, and heave health care over the finish line, too. That's a tall order for a president facing 10% unemployment, a lockstep Republican opposition, and a bunch of panicky Democrats on Capitol Hill. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
Since the president is hoping to help small businesses, we went to talk to some entrepreneurs about the challenges they're facing right now. We have two reports. We begin with Chris Arnold, who takes us to a commercial bakery in Boston that had to lay off workers.
The Dancing Deer Baking Company sells all-natural brownies and cookies online and through retail stores. Their oatmeal raisin cookies are particularly good.
We like a cookie, by the way. Go.
Trish Carter is the founder and CEO. She has 65 full-time employees, and the business was growing steadily until the economy fell apart.
And we had lots of financial services customers, so that kind of evaporated overnight.
One day in January a year ago, the company had to lay off 20% of its office staff.
I'd never been there before. We've always been growing. It was the hardest day of my working life.
Since then, the company's been holding its own. But Carter says that access to credit has been an issue. President Obama is trying to get banks to loan more to small businesses. And if that works, Carter says that'd be good. She says last year she had to find a new bank when her old one started getting squirrely about renewing her line of credit.
Our growth was constrained in the sense that I spent 3 or 4 months working through a banking crisis instead of working on the business and switching banks. You know, we wasted a lot of time. When you're fussing around with bank covenants and talking to bankers, you're not selling. and you're not coming up with some great new product.
And Carter ended up having to pay a higher interest rate, which is a drag on any business.
And I have a lot of friends that run small to mid-sized businesses, and we're all in the same boat.
Still, the biggest problem is just that sales are sluggish. Carter says that's the main reason that she's not planning on hiring anytime soon.
This will not be a hiring year for us unless something just crazy wonderful happens. And those things happen, you know, and we're working on it.
Carter says she's been talking to one of the airlines about a contract for 1 million cookies for in-flight snacks. If she lands that, she'll be hiring some more people. Chris Arnold, NPR News, Boston.
And near Denver, the Dry Dock Brewery has been expanding. The company took advantage of a provision in last year's stimulus bill that waives closing costs on small business loans. It used the extra money to buy a new fermenter so it could brew more beer. Kirk Siegler of member station KUNC reported last fall on the brewery's success, and he has this update.
The stimulus bill created one whole job at the Dry Dock Brewing Company.
My name is Erin Schumann. I'm the taproom manager here at Dry Dock Brewing in Aurora, Colorado.
But even just one job is kind of a big deal because the brewery has less than a dozen employees, and Schumann isn't taking it for granted.
I was very excited to be able to get a job in this tight economy because everybody right now is trying to get any job they can, and that means going into the restaurant business when it might not necessarily be what they always do, so yay!
Owner Kevin DeLange is also beaming, and he knows that the same can't be said for many other small businesses right now.
We feel lucky that we've been able to grow in this economic environment. We're starting to see it a lot more with our customers lately, more of our regulars getting laid off, losing their jobs. But we are fortunate that given that, we were still able to expand the business and everything's been going great.
It's often said that beer is recession-proof, and Dry Dock seems to be proving that. Beer sales have more than doubled since this time last year, and that has DeLange eyeing another expansion. He wants to open a second tap room closer to downtown Denver.
I wouldn't be surprised if come mid-late summer I'm starting to itch to do something else and we start moving on it.
And should he expand, DeLange says he'd take a closer look at President Obama's latest proposed tax credit for small businesses. Though on its face, he's not sure $5,000 is much of an incentive for a business to create a whole new position.
I do think it might be just enough to push somebody over the edge. If they were thinking about it anyways, they were just about to create a new job, this might be just enough to push them over the edge and make them hire that person where they might have waited.
The tax credit is just a proposal right now, and DeLange knows it's a long ways away from money in his pocket. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Siegler in Denver.